Hear God's word from Psalm 107. Oh, thank you, God. He's so good. His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how he freed you from oppression, then rounded you up from all over the place, from the four winds, from the seven seas. Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live. Half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God, and he got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He poured great drafts of water down parched throats. The starved and hungry got plenty to eat. Some of you were locked in a dark cell, cruelly confined behind bars, punished for defying God's word, for turning your back on the high God's counsel. A hard sentence, and your hearts so heavy, and not a soul in sight to help. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He led you out of your dark, dark cell, and he broke open the jail and led you out. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He shattered the heavy jailhouse doors, and he snapped the prison bars like matchsticks. Some of you were sick because you'd lived a bad life. Your body's feeling the effects of your sin. You couldn't stand the sight of food, so miserable you thought you'd be better off dead. And then you called out to God in your desperate condition. And he got you out in the nick of time. He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell the world what he's done. Sing it out. Some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action, saw his breathtaking ways with the ocean. With a word, he called up the wind, an ocean storm, towering waves. You shot high in the sky, and then the bottom dropped out. Your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top. You reeled like a drunk. You didn't know which end was up. And then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves, and you were so glad when the storm died down. He led you safely back to harbor. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his mercy, miracle mercy to the children he loves. Lift high your praises when the people assemble, and shout hallelujah when the elders meet. God turned rivers into wastelands, springs of water into sun-baked mud. Luscious orchards became alkali flats because of the evil of the people who lived there. And then he changed wasteland into fresh pools of water, and earth into springs of water. Brought in the hungry and settled them there. They moved in. What a great place to live! And they sowed the fields, they planted vineyards, they reaped a bountiful harvest, and he blessed them, and they prospered greatly. Their herds of cattle never decreased, but abuse and evil and trouble declined, as he heaped scorn on princes and sent them away. He gave the poor a safe place to live and treated their clans like well-cared-for sheep. Good people see this and are glad. Bad people are speechless, stopped in their tracks. If you are really wise, you'll think this over. It's time you appreciated God's deep love. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Have you ever been at your wit's end? In a situation where there seemed to be no solutions, where you just felt so beaten down that you kind of lost hope? When you felt you'd done everything you could do, you tried to do things right, but still you just saw no answers? I think many of us have been in that situation. I know I have. I've shared with you many times that time I went through where it seemed like there just were no answers, where I tried so hard to do everything right and still ended up at a dead end with my life turned upside down. And one of the things that I've learned over the years is that part of my problem was that I was trying to do it. I believed in God. I knew God. I loved God. But I figured He was busy with other things. And I figured, who could know better than me what I needed or what I wanted or how to get there? Well, unfortunately, even when we're well-intentioned, even when we try hard, even when we're basically good people, this world isn't about us. It's about God. This morning's beautiful song is a beautiful poem that reflects and symbolizes so many ways that we can feel lost and our lives can feel so out of control. Sometimes we are the ones who are wandering in the desert, parched, hungry, lost, with nothing seeming to be there. And if you've ever been out like in Death Valley, you get an exquisite picture of the desolation. And at times we feel that in our lives. And sometimes we feel locked in that dark cell. We know we've done some things wrong. We may even feel like we're not even worthy of God's love. We just feel locked up with no opportunities, just lost in the dark. Sometimes we feel just sick, weary, done. And other times we feel like those sailors on the sea. We can see the magnificence of God's creation, of God's work. But we also feel the object of those storms that just leave us in such a mess that we don't know where to turn. But as we heard in this song, each and every time God responds. For those who are out in the desert, He got you in the nick of time, the scripture says. Each one of these passages, each one of these situations, He got you in the nick of time. So yes, sometimes it feels like we're taken right to the very edge, right to the brink of total destruction. But sometimes that's what it takes to get our attention. That's what it takes to get us back on the right course. Yeah, we're that stubborn. It's true. And we need to be reminded of it. Because even when we're doing well, a lot of times, we can still get distracted. And in little bits and pieces, we get a little further and further and further off the path without even realizing it. So this passage, just again, it's a reminder that we need to be paying attention, and paying attention all the time. We also need to know that our perception of what's happening and how God is or isn't working isn't always very accurate either. There's a story you may have heard about a man who was a survivor of a shipwreck. And he was able to make out a raft from some of the ship's cargo, and he made it to a deserted island. He was able to, again, use some of the shipwrecked wood to put together a little shelter, and he lived on what little food he'd been able to salvage from the wreckage as well. And time after time, he kept trying to attract the attention of a passing ship. And finally, he saw the ship approaching more closely, and so he hurriedly, he lit a fire, hoping that he would get their attention, and that they would see him, and they would come and help him. But to his dismay, the ship just passed on by and gone. But then, accidentally, those flames from the signal fire set fire to his thatched roof. And then the whole shelter just went up in flames. That was his one place where he was able to live and have just a little bit of comfort from the elements. And so he was just, he was certain that all was lost, that there was no hope for him. He was done. He didn't see how his life could last much longer even. But then, funny thing, he noticed that the ship which had passed him by had turned around, and it was coming towards the island. And to his relief, he was seen by the crew, he was rescued, and when he was finally on board, he went to the captain to thank him. He was so grateful, and so he said, "What caused you to turn around after you'd already gone by me?" And the captain said, "Well, we saw the smoke you made by setting your shelter on fire." What? The very thing that he thought was going to end in his death was the thing that saved his life. We don't understand so much that's going on in our lives. When we reflect, though, if we're paying attention, we can see, looking back, many times in our lives when we've all but given up. And things that we thought were the worst, God has turned into the best, into things that have actually saved us instead of destroyed us. There are other things. A lot of times we find that our circumstances are beyond our control, but sometimes we're the problem and we're the obstacle to God acting in our lives. And part of that is because we can put so many things that are really not that important as our priorities. There's an old story of a young man who came to Buddha, and he was seeking the true way of life, the path of righteousness. Buddha led him to a river, and the young man assumed that he was to undergo some ritual of purification in the water, some type of almost like a baptismal service in there. And they walked into the river for some distance, and then suddenly the Buddha grabbed the man and he held his head under the water. And the man is struggling and struggling. He can't breathe, and finally, in the last gasp, he wrenched himself loose, his head came above the water, and quietly the Buddha asked him, "When you thought you were drowning, what did you desire most?" So are you kidding? Air! Air! And Buddha replied, "When you want righteousness as much as you wanted air, then you'll get it." How many of us even think about righteousness? How often do we really think about what it means in our lives to put God first. How many of us really put first what God calls of us? Do we want to be His disciples, living as He calls us to live, as much as the air we breathe? Or even as much as we want other things, our comfort, our homes, stuff? Those are the hard questions that we have to look at. Those are the things that we have to take seriously in our journey, or we're missing the point. This passage also reminds us that it is God who is our salvation, and God is the one we can trust. He's the one that no matter what we're going through, who's always looking out for us, always looking after us. To that end, I want to share one last story that kind of illustrates that. There was a group of naturalists who were seeking these special specimens, and they discovered one on the sheer face of this precipice, this hillside. And there was no way to get down it and no way to get up it. So as they're trying to figure things out, they noticed a young boy who was helping his father in a nearby field. And so they asked if they could put a rope around him and lure him over the edge so that he could then get that plant specimen for them. Well, needless to say, he wasn't too excited about the idea. But finally, he said, "I'll do it, but on just one condition. I'll do it if my father is the one who holds the rope." Friends, there are times when we feel like we're at the end of our rope. But we have a Father we can trust. Wherever you are in your journey right now, I hope that you will give yourself time to really consider where God is in your life, where you are in your faith journey, and that whatever burdens you're carrying, whatever challenges, that you'll turn them over to Him, knowing that He'll get you through whatever it is. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, we all have those times when we find ourselves in the desert, in the dark cell, feeling sick or tossed by stormy seas. We are grateful that You are the one who saves us every time. May we trust and claim You. In Jesus' name, amen.